Well, I'm glad you have joined us again. Today we're going to finish out James chapter 4. So let's go ahead and start with verses 11 and 12. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Now the word translated, speak evil against, is to make false or damaging statements, accuse or speak negatively about someone. Christians are the worst when it comes to this because we tend to believe the worst about others. Somehow it makes us feel better about ourselves to talk about other people and speculate what we have heard without verifying the truth. But for every statement we make about someone without verifying its accuracy, we are committing slander. Now you can rename that however you want, but God said it is slander. So before you utter a word about someone that could be perceived as negative, ask these questions. Have I talked to the person about the accusation? If not, you have no right to repeat what you have heard. Number two, will it build up and encourage all who hear? If no, you have no godly purpose of repeating what you have heard. Number three, will Christ be glorified through my words? If no, then stop. James spoke out against the Christians who were speaking evil and judging other Christians. Now, what does he mean by judging? Well, judging is arriving at a conclusion based on what you have heard or have an opinion about someone. Now, many people are guilty of arriving at a conclusion or having a personal opinion about people with, let's say, tattoos or long hair or colored hair or a different colored skin or someone from a different background or a different education or looked upon in a different status economically. Now, by doing so, by judging, arriving at a conclusion or having an opinion about someone else, that person is slandering the Scriptures by imposing personal opinions over God's truth and teaching. Now, James 1:26 says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Proverbs 6:16-19, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Now, listen how serious this is. When you place your opinion over Scripture, going against God's explicit words, you are acting like God. That's called blasphemy and was punishable by death through hanging or stoning, as described in Leviticus 24. Christians are to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. They are not to speak evil in a spirit of conflict and criticism. If the truth about a Christian is harmful, we should cover it in love and not repeat it, 1 Peter 4:8. If he has sinned, we should go to him personally and win him back, Matthew 18:15-19. Now see, James is not forbidding us to use discernment, but we must not act like God in passing judgment. Instead, our first responsibility is to examine our own lives and then try to help others be reconciled to God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. We never know all the facts in a matter, and we certainly never know the motives of the hearts. To speak evil against and judge other Christians on partial evidence is to sin against Him and God. God is the only judge. Who am I? Who are you? We are sinners deserving of God's judgment, but have been gloriously saved by grace through the completed work of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, our hearts are deceitful and cannot judge impartially or justly. God is patient and understanding. His judgments are just and holy. He does not need our help. Well, let's look at verses 13 through 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Apart from the will of God, life is a mystery. We do not know what tomorrow holds, but knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and seeking to do His will, life begins to make sense. To us, life seems long. We measure it in years and decades, but in comparison to eternity, it's a vapor or a mist. We count our years at each birthday, but God tells us to number our days in Psalm 90, verse 12. Since life is so brief, we cannot afford to just spend our lives, and we certainly do not want to waste our lives. We must invest our lives in those things that are eternal. Other than attending worship and Bible study, how are you investing in eternal things? For example, we had a young man come forward in the second service Sunday, committing himself to live out the confession, Jesus is Lord. I saw a few people shake his hand. I heard some say, we're glad you're here. But did it cross anyone's mind that this young man needs discipled in his commitment? Did anyone offer to meet him, take him to lunch, or help him obey what God commanded? Generally speaking, this is where we fail as a church. We are glad they're here, but unwilling to invest in their lives outside this building at a prescribed time. We just think it's someone else's responsibility. We want God to write His will in the sky or speak to us in a booming voice. God, however, reveals His will in His Word. In the Bible, God gives precepts, principles, and promises to guide us in every area of life. Knowing and obeying the Word of God is the surest way to success, but it is also the easiest to ignore. We have neither the wisdom to see the future nor the power to control the future. Therefore, if we boast, we sin in our pride by making ourselves like God. Therefore, we submit to God's will. The statement, if the Lord wills, is not just a statement on our lips, it's a constant attitude of our hearts. Why do people who know the will of God deliberately disobey it? One reason we've already acknowledged is pride. Another reason is our ignorance of the nature of God's will. If we're honest, we act as though the will of God is something we can accept or reject. The will of God is not an option. It is an obligation. We cannot take it or leave it because God is the creator and we are the created. We must obey him. What happens to Christians who deliberately disobey the known will of God? They are disciplined by their loving Father until they submit. We see that in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. If a professed believer is not disciplined, listen, it is evidence that their profession is counterfeit, and Scripture says they are illegitimate children. Why would we say something like that? Because God said he disciplines the one he loves. Therefore, if we are not being disciplined by God, we are not counted among his children. The believer's relationship to the will of God is a growing experience. First, we should know his will. That's Acts 22:14. The will of God is not difficult to discover. God reveals his will to those who are ready and willing to obey him. We should not seek to know God's will about some matters and ignore his will in others. We submit everything in our lives to his will. Second, we should seek to understand his will so that we can apply his principles in our daily lives. Third, we learn to know God's will by experience. The more we obey, the easier it is to discover what God wants us to do next. So how do you determine God's will for your life? Are you ready? You begin by changing the question. If you have surrendered your life to the Lord, it is no longer yours. So the question is, how do I determine God's will? You start with the thing you know you ought to do, and you do that. Then God opens the way for the next step. The fourth thing we must do is we must do God's will with the right heart. We must not obey reluctantly or because we must. When we genuinely love God, his commands become like songs, and we enjoy serving him. Psalm 119, verse 54. If you know what God said to do and did not do it, you live in sin. If you obey the will of God, you will have a deeper fellowship with Christ, the knowledge of God's truth. You'll see your prayers avail much. You will live in God's peace and be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. But more importantly, God will be glorified through your life. God bless you as you follow him.